The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now, here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, welcome once again to God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski, and an old buddy of mine from the Cathedral downtown joining us, along with his lovely wife, Regina. Mike and Regina Thomas are our guests today on God Calling. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Cleveland, near West Side, Marvin Avenue, between West 25th and Fulton, Blessed Sacrament Parish.
Very close to the 2nd District.
Right. Yeah, that's probably influenced my career decision, right? I'd watch the police cars go by our house.
Sure. Yeah. Regina, how about you?
I grew up in Morrow County, Ohio, south of Mansfield, a rural area. Grew up as a Lutheran, and then came up here to Lutheran Hospital to nursing school.
Okay, did you work there at Lutheran?
I did work at Lutheran, and I've also worked at Metro and the clinic and finished out my career at St. Vincent's.
Okay, all right. This just struck me this minute. You both had stressful careers with
yes.
stuff that you see probably in emergency rooms or surgical suites or
exactly.
and clearly on the streets of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Mike, yourself, what called you to police work?
I just always was interested in it. I'm not really sure why. I knew I didn't want to work in an office. I wanted to be outside. I wanted to help people. And I found out I had distant relatives, that I had a great uncle that was a policeman at one time, and my grandfather that died before I was born was a Cleveland fireman.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was in the genes. Somewhere.
How did you grow up? What parish?
Well, Blessed Sacrament Parish. When I was growing up, when I was a teen, Father Cregan was a brand new priest, and he was the assistant there.
Later, the police chaplain.
Yeah. But he would open the gym for us in the summertime, so we could just not get in trouble on the streets, and we'd play basketball all day long. And it was a nice community. You know, a lot of
daily prayer, that sort of thing at home?
At one point I remember my mom, and I forget the correct word, but consecrate our family to the Sacred Heart, and there was a full picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we'd say a daily rosary.
Okay.
But that probably lasted 6 or 7 years, you know, just as my older sisters moved on to college and stuff, I think it kind of dropped off. But yeah, daily prayers.
Mm-hmm. Regina, I'm not familiar too much with the Lutheran upbringing. Well, tell me about your background, and then you switched to Catholicism.
Well, I was the oldest of four girls. Mm-hmm. We just always went to church. You know, I have pictures of my baptism with three of us were born about the same time. And we just always went to church, you know, for special days and participated in Sunday school. And probably the biggest influence was my aunt, who was like the junior high school Sunday school teacher. And she would always have like Bible questions for the lesson. Involved reading the Bible, so we always had the Bible around. My dad would get the Bible out and read from the Bible, and you know, just not a lot of daily prayers, but morning prayers, nighttime prayers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then we were married for about 5 years before I decided to convert to Catholicism.
Yeah. Back to that, how'd you guys meet?
Well, I was working 3 to 11 at Lutheran. And it was around Christmas time, and one of the nurses in the emergency room was having a Christmas party that night. So the nursing assistant had come up to my floor to get ice, and she says, "Why don't you come to the party after you get off of work?" I said, "It's too late, and I don't have any other clothes." And then I went anyway, and Michael was there. We met at the party. And
this dashing young policeman.
dashing young policeman, yes.
Beautiful young nurse, yeah. Yeah,
see that? There's a story right there, right, love story. Right, yeah. What do you remember that? What do you remember about that first seeing Regina and that party there at the ER?
Well, I've heard some of your other interviews. I had certain qualifications by then, and one was, you know, a family that practiced a faith, you know, Catholic faith or a faith close mm-hmm. to ours. And my other materialistic qualifications were tall and dark hair, and good looking. And she met
checked
those.
All the boxes.
So my first impression was, I don't know her. Let me see who she is. I knew the emergency room nurses. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right, because you were up on a floor.
Right. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, she came over and said, I really want to meet you. That's the way I remember it.
Is this a fantasy story?
Yeah, that's his fantasy story. He asked me for my number. And
we danced, I think.
And some kind danced, of and I said, yeah, I've heard that before. So, mm-hmm.
How long did you go out before you got serious?
There's an interesting part of this story there, too, that we're God calling, you know. I hadn't called her. I think it was a week, but she says it was a little bit longer, 2 weeks maybe. But
hard to get.
There were so many policemen in Cleveland at the time that we didn't have enough cars. It was right after the riots, and so there were 2,400 policemen. And so I had the Lorraine West 25th Street walking beat, mm-hmm. and old-timers told me, will you eat at Lutheran Hospital because they only charge you half price in the cafeteria. Right. So I was sitting there alone eating at a table for two and right by where the line is for people to come in. And she was walked in for lunch, and I asked her if she would join me and mm-hmm. Asked her out then. And God nudged me a little. Hey, she's the one.
Old school, as a news reporter, we used to carry the big handheld radios like you guys did. Mm-hmm. And a couple times I'd go to this or that restaurant, and it charged me half price because they thought I was a detective.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I should have corrected him, I suppose.
Yeah, you should have.
But I didn't. No. So how long did you court before you got married, Regina?
It was probably a year and a half mm-hmm. before we got married.
Okay. And then where were you married?
We were married, that's sort of a unique story. We were married at St. Philip and James. I had purchased a house when I was single on Linnet, mm-hmm. and it was in St. Philip and James Parish. Father Mark DiNardo was a good friend of mine. My older sister had gone to St. John's College, and I got to know him then, and I would go with the college girls to paint the rooms at mm-hmm. Epiphany Parish he was living. And so we, you know, we asked him to marry us, and that parish would let him. A few other parishes said, no, we don't want, you know, outside priests coming in. So that's what got us married there, yeah.
Well, that's the start. We got seven kids to talk about here in a couple of minutes, right after we come back after these messages on God Calling. Mike and Regina Thomas, our guests on God Calling, 51 years married, and that was 1971 when you were first married, and then
72,
that's right. My math is not very good. That's why I was on the verbal side of things, not math. Anyway, you were married, and then when did you begin a family?
Immediately. You know, we were both interested in having children, and I thought I was old. You know, I was 26. Regina was 24.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, we're old. We better start a family.
Times have changed in that regard.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Right, right. So our oldest daughter's 50, you know, which is scary.
Yeah, I bet.
And then, well, should I continue or let Regina continue?
Well, go ahead, Regina. Yeah. You had seven children. God bless
right.
you.
Right. We had seven children and 11 grandchildren.
Wonderful.
And a great-granddaughter. So we have a lot of people that, when we have family get-togethers, it's quite crowded these days.
I bet.
Our oldest was a girl, and then we had a boy 2 years later, 3 years mm-hmm. later, and then twin girls. And there's a part of Regina's life she doesn't remember. We had the twin girls, and then 11 months later, another girl. And
but that's
the two boys. After
same with my family. There are five of us, but mm-hmm. Every couple of years, a new addition. I've told my parents many times, or used to, that you had it right after the first one, you know, which was me.
Nice,
They didn't think so. Yeah. You know, police work at that time, very stressful after the riots and some of the stuff you mentioned, probably not as stressful as today. Mm-hmm. But Regina, how do you deal with that, knowing that he's going out on the streets and it's a dangerous job?
I just looked at it. This was his chosen career, his chosen profession, and that God was protecting him. And he probably had more backup than the normal person out on the street. If he called for help, I knew he would get help, mm-hmm. and just accepted it, that this is our life, you know, changing shifts every month, changing days off week by week, and I mean, it's just what we did. So mm-hmm.
it takes a lot of juggling, I suppose.
Lots of juggling, yes.
I suppose is the word. Mike, how did you deal with the stress on the streets? In news reporting, we see a lot of bad stuff as well, mm-hmm. but not like what you guys saw. Mm-hmm. And early on, I just said, you know what? When I cross the river to go out to the west side, yeah. I'm leaving it downtown. Because if you took it home, you'd kick the dog sometimes.
Yes, yeah.
There are just days like that. You see what people do to one another. But how did you deal with it?
Well, I just missed being laid off. It started in the 2nd District, missed being laid off, and got transferred to the 6th and worked the Glenville area. And it was rough. There was still a lot of hate. You know, that's where the Glenville riots
sure.
took place. And so I was in shock. And I became kind of hardened. You know, I think I heard another interview. And one thing I wanted to share that... I've listened to some of your other interviews, and you know, Regina was probably ready to leave me after we were married 6 months, 7 months, really, just because I was, you know, I'd work second shift and go hang out with the guys, you know, forget I was married and come home after the bars closed. And I'm glad she believed in the word commitment, you know, and like throughout our life, God put people in my life to just kind of woke me up, you know, like, hey, come on.
You know, reporting was like that in the
change.
Back in the 70s.
Right, I remember drinking with some reporters. Yeah.
The headliner bar down there,
right,
in Superior at 17th, yeah. and right between the Plain Dealer and all the TV stations, so 11:15, 11:30 at night.
Right.
Stopped
right.
for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But sometimes it wasn't a few minutes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I put my wife through some of the same stuff, I believe.
So that was my negative way of dealing with it. But then, you know, Marriage Encounter was a new thing, Worldwide Marriage Encounter, and in 1978, maybe.
You guys were early.
Yeah,
huh?
1978.
We made a Marriage Encounter weekend, and that's where we first met Vic and Pat Voinovich. But it
previous guests, I'm sure.
Further opened my eyes, you know, to how I needed to change. You know, it was just the part of the deal is you write love letters to each other each day, talk about your feelings, and... you know, I found out how much I was hurting Regina, and so God is good. You know, I mean, just that was one of many things. You know,
mm-hmm,
I
mean, mm-hmm.
I started working at the cathedral around.
Right, that's where we met.
Around then too, and Father Ted Marzell was his first stint as pastor, and just a great, you know, met some great priests down there, and.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and it was.
You mentioned Pat and Vic Voinovich. They have been guests on the show in the past, mm-hmm. and I noticed something you're doing that they did. So the whole show, they never stopped holding hands. They held hands the whole show, which was fascinating. And it's an outward sign, but it's also an inward, I'm with you. It makes a statement, mm-hmm. I guess. How do you
it's
feel?
It's a connection. I mean, just that a security blanket, holding hands.
And, he's here, she's here.
Right.
What
We're
else?
Together.
Then I noticed that you also got busy in Marriage Encounter helping others.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, we started going to, they called them Marriage Encounter Circles at the time, and as a way of supporting what we had learned on the weekend, and I happened to be pregnant with our twins at the time we made our weekend, and so that kind of limited what we were able to do at that time. But then we became community leaders, helping support other young couples who had made the Marriage Encounter weekend. And prayer support for people and for the team couples that presented. And that's pretty much it. I mean, mm-hmm. just stayed involved because we knew that it was good for us.
Everybody that came to Marriage Encounter, other people have told me this, but they're kind of all rosy-eyed and, we're never going to have a problem, and he's too nice, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Right, right.
You don't want to give them bad news, because it's not bad news. They're in love, but at the same point in time, there's bumps in the road.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
How do they take that?
Some of them used what they learned on the weekend to get through those rough patches. And for us, being with a community, it was support. Because we could go to them and share what was going on in our life, because they shared too, and we knew we weren't alone in the things that we struggled with, struggles with children, family, and you just knew that you had that backup there and you could talk about it, and nobody thought you were nuts for sharing about mm-hmm. that stuff. I think that's what helped us stay together.
Sure. At the time with the kids, we never could keep the commitment to write every day, you know, and share. Sure. It was just mayhem. Finally, the last couple of years, we've been able to, but that's helped a lot.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
Yeah. Let's talk about that when we come back on God Calling, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Mike and Regina Thomas back with us. Mike, a retired Cleveland police officer, and Regina, a retired nurse, worked many hours, both stressful jobs, as we've said. But you talked about earlier, before the commercial, about holding hands and just something that simple. And then after that, now, you know, writing love letters, hard to do with seven hungry mm-hmm. mouths to feed, as they say, in your schedule. But did you do it from time to time when you could? And then how did it grow?
Would get back into it and maybe make it 30 days without, or 60 days. But then once you let it go, it just...
It's kind of that way with prayer, too, in some ways.
Right.
Exactly.
Once you get out of the habit or something like that.
Yeah.
So you picked it back up when?
Well, 2014, we made another weekend.
Okay.
And recommitted to writing every day, so...
Is that I don't want to say requirement, but a suggestion of the program?
No, just suggestion, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Voinoviches, by then, we had started meeting up with them again, and they... They've done it for whatever, 40 years, 45 years, and so we thought, we'll try it. And so it's been good.
A little easier when the fewer are running around the house and this and that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right, exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't have kids running around.
Yeah. You joked with me in a text that we went back and forth on that right after, when you got rid of the bigger house, moved to the smaller house,
right.
One of the children came back.
Right, I was going to mention that. Yeah, it was good we had been doing the daily letters because... like I didn't like God's sense of humor. Regina wanted to downsize to a ranch. I didn't like ranches, but it turned out to be a good thing, But then one of our daughters went through a divorce, and we have a totally disabled grandson, and she moved in with us. And he's, like many people say, he's just like looking into the eyes of an angel. He just brings joy. He's happy all the time. But this wasn't quite in our plan, so I was probably struggling more than Regina with it like this. Yeah.
It was a big adjustment.
This can't be happening.
Yeah, but they're still there, and it's good. God and other people have supported us, and it's a good thing.
Regina, how important is faith in looking at a situation like that as you might, how did this happen to us, as opposed to now, in the lens of some time, looking at it as a blessing and like Mike said, looking at this child?
My personality is I'm pretty accepting and go with the flow, and she needed to be with us, and he needed to be with us, and this is what God wants us to do right now. This is where we need to be for her and for Logan, and it's just what we did. It's what mm-hmm. we needed to do, but it doesn't come without the stress.
Another big plus of him is that he brings the whole family together. If there's ever a family gathering or any, everyone just loves Logan. He just brings joy, and so it lightens the moment many times. And we had, our children bought us a family vacation for our 50th wedding anniversary, and I don't like family vacation. I even told my daughter, I don't want a family vacation. I don't like half these people. But, but it was great. They rented this $4 million house on Sandbridge in Virginia, the edge of Virginia Beach, and just got to know people. One of my son-in-laws is a biologist. One of our daughters is a math teacher. They got mm-hmm. Regina's brains, but he and he's a scientist, so doesn't talk much. I never knew him well. And on this vacation, three of us would get up early. Other people, and I got to know him, and just it was great. But mm-hmm. on that vacation, Logan was there too. They got a place that had a beach wheelchair and a ramp, and he brought us, kept everything light. It was really beautiful experience.
How hard to keep seven children in line as far as, as they're growing up, going to Mass regularly mm-hmm. and getting them all to Mass, because I'm an usher at my church, and Mass is 2 or 3 minutes in when here come all the families.
Yeah.
Because, you got to get them dressed. How tough was that?
It was a challenge.
Yeah.
It was a challenge, but we just had our Sunday routine, and when they were old enough that they could pour their own cereal, they all got up, had their breakfast, got dressed for church, and we had certain rules for the way they needed to dress to go to church. And
well, those rules have gone out the door.
Yeah, they certainly have. But, I mean, it was simple. No blue jeans to church. You know, mm-hmm. It's dress up a little.
And like many families, just so people don't think we're perfect, the majority of our children don't go to church today, you know.
You're telling a story that a lot of us around
exactly.
our age, yeah.
Right,
yeah. But hopefully there's a seed of right and wrong and those
yeah,
important
things. Yeah, they're all very loving, caring people about those around them. And I think that's, they're all doing well and doing things that they love doing. And when somebody in the family's in crisis, they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel really blessed that they don't hold grudges. They don't stop talking to one another.
Good.
They let somebody know that they're unhappy with their choices, but we go on, and they continue to love one another and be supportive. So,
Mike, when did you start serving down at the cathedral? Were you Tuesdays, Thursdays?
Wednesday. Well, it started Thursday morning, like when they still had a 6:30 mass,
I think
it was. And then when they lessened the number of masses, it's got to be 25 years ago, something like that.
Sure.
I have the least time of the three of us that serve,
on
Wednesday night. Yeah.
An august group down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, once I can't see the steps anymore. Earlier this year, I thought, well, maybe it's time to stop. But then the new bishop put in, like, yellow tape, and I thought, oh, good.
That's right.
Maybe I've got a couple more years left.
I've seen it. You know, I think sometimes the cathedral can look like an intimidating place. Workers who go downtown, I would suggest to all of them, morning mass at the cathedral is just delightful. It's warm. It's usually the same people all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to, if it was raining, we'd cut through the sacristy and there'd be Bishop Lennon or whoever. And just
He used to routinely have Wednesday morning mass. And so,
yeah.
Yeah. Got to know him.
He did confessions too. One day I didn't know who was going to be in the confessional. Oh. I walk in, it was the bishop. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I got to come up with I came up with a B list. I didn't really.
Yeah, right. Well, once again, Father Arnell, young Filipino priest, this great guy. You know, there's different priests I've met down there over the years.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful people. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on God Calling.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Mike and Regina Thomas, 51 years married, and you are blessed.
Thank you.
This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time in this very same station, WCCR, actually, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.